All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk.
I mean, you look at something like legit PTSD, and people work to avoid triggers. And that becomes an operative and important word in understanding the symptom functionality of PTSD, right? Individuals work to avoid places and they avoid activities. They work to avoid being generally reminded of their traumatic experiences because of the anxiety production relative to those intrusive memories, right? And there is a real degree to which avoiding these memories, the re-experiencing of these traumatic experiences, that really keeps the PTSD moving and breathing. So they might think to themselves, I'm coping, I'm doing something positive and productive by managing my triggers, right? And somebody with OCD, for example, might do the same thing. They might think of certain situations or people or activities or whatever it might be as, well, I've got to not do that because when I do that, well, that's when my OCD gets really bad. And some therapists might even say themselves, well, just don't go there or don't do this thing or work to minimize your engagement of that activity because, you know, it exacerbates your OCD symptoms. And okay, that makes sense, I suppose, to some extent, but it's not exactly the kind of therapy that proves effective over the course of time for these individuals, right? Just engage your life to a lesser degree, you know, and that'll be a good intervention here. Like, that's not what we're working to do. And the same thing might be true also of individuals with panic disorder, right? Or specific phobia, where we identify triggers, and that'll be a good way that we can manage our anxiety, you know? And again, it's one of those things that is often enough a response. It's a common enough strategy relative to the management of anxiety. But what we find, and the literature backs this up, by the way, is the more we engage in avoidance strategies, working to manage triggers, actually the more we maintain the anxiety system itself, or maybe even exacerbate its severity. So the notion of, like, what do I do when I'm triggered is an important question because, like, a lot of people tend to conceptualize being triggered negatively. It's something that needs to not happen or at least happen less often for me because if I can manage being triggered, well, then I'm going to manage, you know, my anxiety or whatever it is. And again, I might do that at the expense of my quality of life, but, well, at least in the process, I'm having less anxiety. Well, hopefully. So generally speaking, what we're working to not do is manage triggers. When you're talking about something like post-traumatic stress disorder or OCD, when you're talking about something like generalized anxiety disorder or specific phobia or panic disorder, separation anxiety disorder, and the list goes on, it's not therapeutically valuable or productive to manage triggers. In fact, the opposite is true. And this is generally called exposure therapy. And there's specific parameters to this, of course, and things to keep in mind when we're engaging good exposure therapy. But generally speaking, the rule of thumb is when it comes to the effective treatment of an anxiety-related disorder, what we're not really wanting to do is manage triggers. That's counterproductive, despite the fact that, again, some clinicians might advocate for that. On the other hand, there are occasions where we need to manage triggers. And it's interesting because when we're talking about not OCD, but OCD-related disorders, like, for example, trichotillomania and excoriation disorder, these are common sort of diagnostic examples wherein we need to work to identify triggers and manage them. Right. And maybe you say, well, what the hell's trichotillomania? Trichotillomania is commonly known as hair pulling disorder. And excoriation disorder is otherwise known as skin picking disorder. Right. And so this concept of like, well, how do I stop picking my skin, right? And how do I stop pulling my hair, right? These sort of body-focused repetitive behaviors. The answer becomes, well, we need to work and work hard and work smartly to identify triggers, right? And Charlie Mansueto provided this excellent text called Overcoming Body-Focused Repetitive Behaviors that includes and expounds upon an acronym known as SCAMP. And I've talked about SCAMP a bit on the podcast before. The SCAMP stands for sensation, cognition, affect, movement or motion, and place, right? And so individuals that might present with these kinds of symptoms, actually there's real benefit for them, not in working to stop behaviors. And I think that this becomes interesting because you see this clear dichotomy between anxiety-related disorders to include OCD and some of these other OCD-related disorders, right? So in the case of OCD, and again, the anxiety-related disorders, there's a clear emphasis, again, not on managing triggers, but on stopping symptom-maintaining behaviors, or you might say anxiety-reducing behaviors, right? And maybe to some of us that sounds like a bad idea, or maybe it sounds like a silly concept. Well, why would you do that? But in reality, again, there's tons and tons and tons of research going back almost 60 years now that supports the notion that ritual prevention relative to OCD in particular and working to disengage anxiety managing actions in general is actually quite helpful in the effective treatment of these kinds of conditions. So we're wanting to focus on and manhandle, if you will, and wrestle into submission these behaviors. Right? We identify them as choices. They're not helpful choices. Stop doing them. Right? Sort of soldier up and engage these sorts of anxiety-producing situations while stopping the anxiety-managing behaviors or compulsions. And in the process, over the course of time, be patient. Right? What we're finding is that the anxiety systems are decreasing in severity. But when it comes to something like trichotillomania and excoriation disorder, most individuals who have battled these conditions would say, well, simply trying to not pull my hair isn't an effective strategy, right? It's not getting me where I want to be. You know, somebody might say, well, why don't you just stop? And it's like, well, thanks, Einstein. I fucking tried to stop and I can't just stop. And the reality is most individuals meeting diagnostic criteria for excoriation disorder, or trichotillomania, the other body-focused repetitive behaviors are going to say the same thing. Yeah, I mean, I've tried that. I've worked hard at it, and it just didn't work for me, right? And this is where researchers have looked at the idea of, well, how about we look at the kinds of sensations or thoughts, the emotion, the movements or the motion, the place, so you might say the activities and the places, the result of which individuals are finding themselves more likely to engage in these body-focused repetitive behaviors. And instead of just trying to stop the behaviors, working to really carefully manage the physiologic sensations they are experiencing, the thoughts or again, cognitions, the feelings or emotions, or again, affect, the movement or activities or places, right, where they're going, where they're hanging out, and noticing the triggers that these pieces represent and managing those pieces. That's the idea, right? And so when you're looking at something like OCD versus excoriation disorder, and lots of people with OCD are meeting criteria for both OCD and, say, trichotillomania or excoriation disorder, this is where it's really helpful to understand that, well, there's a difference between the strategies relative to triggers. You know, you can't just say, well, what do I do when I'm triggered? And the answer is like universally true for everybody. That's not the reality. And it's not. So individuals who are skin pickers, right? And who are really wrestling with stopping their skin picking. Individuals who are hair pullers. And it's like, I've tried and I've gone to therapy and I've worked at this and it's always been a problem for me, right? they're going to have a lot more success with working hard to walk through this this exercise, this scamp related exercise, where again, they're looking at sensations. And maybe you say, well, what's sensations, right? And skin pickers are going to immediately pick up on this. And they're going to know, well, hangnails, for example, when I put my hand in my pocket and I feel the discomfort of a hangnail or some other kind of sensation on my skin, this tends to heighten the likelihood significantly that I'm going to begin picking, right? Or like I say, cognition or thought, right? I have this kind of thought like, it's never going to get better for me. I'm always going to feel like this. And maybe they find that that actually increases the likelihood that they're going to engage in skin picking, or some kind of emotion or affect. They feel bored. And that's a big one, right? Oftentimes when I'm working with somebody who's dealing with habitual skin picking, when we get to the A in scamp, the affect, or again, emotion, they'll say, yeah, boredom. When I'm bored, I'm really likely to pick, right? And so it's like, well, we gotta work to manage boredom, right? When you start to feel bored, it's like, okay, get up and do something. I've got to figure out what to do to get out of boredom, because if I don't, I am very likely going to end up picking, right? Same thing with the M and the P, this idea of movement, or I might say activity, right? A lot of people might say, well, when I'm sitting down on the couch watching TV, which is kind of both movement and place, right? I'm in that room over there sitting down doing nothing, and maybe they'd add, and I'm bored, right? Okay, I'm really likely to pick. And so working to identify, well, what are your triggers? What are the situations that increase the likelihood that you're going to pick or pull? And maybe here a good word is avoid. Avoid these triggers at all costs, right? Avoid certain sensations. Try and get away from certain thought processes or feelings. Like I say, often people who are skin pickers will report boredom as an emotional trigger, right? So we work to avoid being bored, right? Or when we are bored, we try to manage it such that it lasts a brief period of time, right? We experience it, we notice it, and we try to get out of it, right? Same thing with certain activities. Maybe if we tend to pick while we're watching TV, I don't know, rather than sit down and watch TV, stand up and watch TV, right? Or sit in a different chair or in a different room or do something like run on the treadmill or whatever it is. And maybe this sounds ridiculous and maybe it sounds super inconvenient, but then again, how badly do you want to work to stop hair pulling and skin picking, right? And working to identify triggers and manage those carefully and well becomes a very important piece of the therapeutic process. But like, don't get it twisted, because again, you go back to these anxiety-related disorders, including OCD, and it's a typical thing for therapists to say, well, you know, you got to avoid your triggers. And it's like, that's bullshit. No, that's not going to help you, right? I realize, and I do, that maybe there's a certain degree to which on the front end that sounds and that feels good. But the reality is, and anybody who has put this into practice and has worked at it for any amount of time knows that, yeah, on the front end, this sounds good and it feels good, but it doesn't take long for the anxiety to figure out what you're doing, and that avoidance becomes fuel for the fire, right? So it's very common for OCDers to ask, hey, is avoidance a compulsion? And it's like, yeah, man, avoidance is a compulsion. Well, what's a compulsion? Right? A compulsion is any behavioral choice that you're engaging with some amount of repetition and that you're engaging for the purpose of trying to reduce or prevent anxiety or manage or eliminate intrusive thoughts, provided that that behavioral choice isn't connected in a meaningful way to the mitigation of real and present danger. Right. So when you're looking at it like this, it's like, well, yeah, avoidance can certainly be a compulsion, provided that it fits into that definitional parameter. Yeah, it's a compulsion, and it's going to feed and exacerbate the symptoms of the OCD and the anxiety related disorder. Not so, however, when it comes to the body focused repetitive behaviors like trichotillomania and excoriation disorder, for example. In these cases, we are wanting to identify carefully what the triggers are and manage or even avoid them. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com or DM me or whatever at OCD Straight Talk. If you found this episode helpful, consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating. And for treatment, contact Kentuckiana Treatment Center for Anxiety and OCD at kentuckyocd.com. That's kentuckyocd.com. And as always, thanks for checking out OCD Straight Talk.